Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Viewers, this is the 12th and final episode of the 17th topic. We have been discussing the revelation of the Quran on 7 Ahruf. We have discussed and analyzed the content and the text of the narratives, and we have been discussing the chains of narration of the narrative. We have completed, in fact, discussion on these chains of narration, which include both marfu and mawquf narratives. Today, in this final episode, we shall end this topic on two discussions which may be considered as two appendices, basically. The first of them would relate to the Shiite view on the 7 Ahruf, and the second would relate to some of the secondary interpretations of the 7 Ahruf narrative. In the main series, we had discussed 7 major and 7 primary interpretations of the 7 Ahruf narrative. However, since we had already alluded to the fact that there are almost 35 to 40 interpretations of this narrative, so we shall take a brief look at some of these secondary interpretations, and although we'll not critically view them, because on even first glance, on first reading, we can clearly see that they cannot be regarded as tenable. First, we'll discuss the Shiite view on the 7 Ahruf narratives. In this regard, there are 3 primary and 3 representative texts that we have to consider. The first one is by Imam Abu Abdullah Imam Baqir and Imam Abu Ja'far Baqir, and the text has been taken from Basair al-Darajat of As-Saffar, and you can see its text and translation being displayed before you. It says, "An Abi Ja'far alayhi salam qala tafsir al-Quran ala sabati ahruf minhuma kana wa minhuma lam yakun ba'da zalik ta'rifuhul a'imma." Abu Ja'far said, "The tafsir of the Quran is on 7 aspects, some of them which are before the people and some which are not known later as well. They are only known to the Imams." So this is the first version, the first primary text in this regard. The second one is by Imam Abu Abdullah Ja'far al-Sadiq, and this has been taken from Sheikh Ibn Babwel Kummi's Al-Khisal, a famous book that has been authored by him. The text reads, "An Hammad ibn Usman qala qultu li Abi Abdullah inna al-ahadith takhtalifu ankum faqal inna al-Qur'an nazala ala sabati ahruf fa adna ma lil imam an yufti ala sabati wujuhin summa qala hadha ata'una famnun aw amsik bighayri hisab." Hammad ibn Usman said, "I said to Abu Abdullah, Ja'far al-Sadiq, narratives vary from you," which means narrative vary from you imams. He replied, "Indeed, the Quran has been revealed on 7 Ahruf. The least is that an imam gives verdict on 7 aspects." He then said, referring to verses 39 and 40 of Surah 38, "This is what we have blessed you with in great numbers." Haza ata'una famnun aw amsik ghayri hisab is actually a Quranic verse. So, expend it as a favor or withhold it. Obviously, this verse is taken to mean what he is implying here. The third narrative in this regard, viewers, is reported by the forefathers of Abdullah al-Hashimi. They have not been named, but the words are "An Ahmad ibn Halal, An Isa ibn Abdullah al-Hashimi, An Abihi and Abaihi alayhim salam, Qal. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليه وآله أتاني آت من الله فقال إن الله عز وجل يأمرك أن تقرأ القرآن على حرف واحد فقلت يا رب وسع على أمتي فقال إن الله عز وجل يأمرك أن تقرأ القرآن على حرف واحد فقلت يا رب وسع على أمتي فقال إن الله عز وجل يأمرك أن تقرأ القرآن على حرف واحد فقلت يا رب وسع على أمتي فقال إن الله يأمرك أن تقرأ القرآن أن تقرأ القرآن على سبعة أحرف." So Isa ibn Abdullah al-Hashmi reports from his father, who reports from his ancestors, "The Messenger of God said, 'One who comes came to me from God and said, indeed, God Almighty has ordered you to read the Quran on one harf. So I said, O Lord, please be accommodating to my ummah. The angel then said, indeed, God Almighty has ordered you to read the Quran on one harf. So I said, O Lord, please be accommodating to my ummah. Then the angel said, indeed, God Almighty has ordered you to read the Quran on 7 ahruf." And this this text has also been taken by Sheikh al-Saduq's al-Khisal. So these are the three primary narratives which can be attributed to the view of the Shia authorities in this regard. Now, as far as the analysis of this text is concerned, while explaining the first two of them, the first two narratives, Faisal Kashani and Reza al-Hamadani, and Faisal Kashani in his Tafsir al-Safi and Reza al-Hamadani in his Misbah al-Faqih, they say that these narratives clearly show that they refer not to the revelation of the Quran on seven Ahruf, but to the fact that there can be different meanings and interpretations of a verse. So they are actually referring to different types of verses. And they say that this view of his is this view is substantiated by the following narratives found in the Sunni tradition. And we have already discussed those narratives, and he has also actually referred to them as Nazal al-Qur'an ala sabati ahruf amrun wa zajrun wa targhibun wa tarhibun wa jadalun wa qasasun wa masarun, which means that the Qur'an has been revealed on seven ahruf, and then actually, according to them, it actually refers to seven types of Qur'anic verses, that would be verses of injunction, of warning, of exhortation, of threat, of arguments, of parables, and of anecdotes. And another example he gives is Zajrun wa amrun wa halalun wa haramun wa muhkamun wa mutashabihun wa amsal, which means verses of warnings, injunctions, the allowed, the prohibited, the muhkam, the mutashabih, and the parables. Al-Kashani and Al-Hamadani go on to say that these narratives are themselves corroborated by what Ali has said thus, and then they quote him, in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala unzil al-Qur'an ula sabati aqsam kullu qismin minha kafin shafin wa hiya amrun wa zajrun wa targhibun wa tarhibun wa jadalun wa masalun wa qasasun. The Almighty has revealed the Quran on seven types, and each type is enough and sufficient. And then again, they go on to enumerate, in fact, these types, and they are verses of injunctions, of warning, of exhortation, of threat, of arguments, of parables, and of anecdotes. Now, Mir Muhammad Zarindani, in his Buhus fi Tariq al-Quran wa Ulumuhu, has said that these meanings can go up to seven, and if the word seven is taken figuratively, it will mean that there can be many interpretations. So actually, this is how these people interpret the first two narratives. Al-Majlisi, in his Bihar al-Anwar, and Muhakkik al-Bahrani, in his Al-Hadaiq al-Nadira fi Ahkam al-Itra, Itra al-Athira is reported to have said that the third narrative is weak. Remember, the third narrative was the one in which it was very close to what the Sunni narratives generally say, that the Quran was revealed in seven Ahruf, and it actually has a ring very close to what has been reported in the Sunni tradition. Muhakkik al-Bahrani also says that this narrative is similar to what is found in the tradition of the Al-Amma, which of course to them are the Sunni, and should be regarded as a case of taqiyya. And he also says that this should be regarded as a case of taqiyya, meaning that although they quote this narrative, but they do not own it. However, it can also be interpreted to imply, as per the opinion of Ibn al-Asir, the seven dialects of Arabia which are distributed in the Quran. So some portions of the Quran are in the dialect of the Quraysh, and some in the that of Huzail, some in that of Hawazin, and some in that of Yemen. Again, that is something which he has posited furthermore. Al-Faisal Kashani also refers to this very interpretation of this narrative in his Tafsir al-Safi. So this is a summary, viewers, in a nutshell, of the various authorities who present interpretations or views on these three representative narratives. I would like to now analyze the isnads of all these three narratives, and the first of them is being displayed before you. The first of them is suspect because it is not sure, but it was Muhammad ibn Abi Umar who reported from Abban or someone else. So because the words, as you would see from the words from the text, are, if you refer back to the very first narrative, it says An Zurara, and the words are An Ibn Abi Umar aw ghayri. So it's not known who the person is. So therefore, in the absence of this, the fact that it has not been specified clearly that who the narrator is, this narrative cannot be relied upon. Now, as far as the second narrative is concerned, you can see that its chain of narration is also being displayed before you. This narrative is unreliable because it has Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Sarafi, who is majhul. And this is what has been posited by Muhammad al-Jawahiri in his Mujmu Rijal al-Hadith and by various other Rijal authorities. And when I speak of these Rijal authorities, I'm referring to the Shiite Rijal books. Now, according to Al-Khuy, Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Sayrafi is ghair mu'assak. And Imam Khuy has given this opinion or mentioned this opinion in his Kitab al-Hajj. Now, as far as the third narrative is concerned, viewers, its chain of narration is also being displayed before you. In the opinion of Majlisi, this is Mullah Baqir al-Majlisi, he in his Bihar al-Anwar says that this narrative is za'if and contradictory to many others. Now, about Abu Ahmad ibn Halal al-Ibrathai, as you can see, that his name is being indicated by an arrow. Ibn al-Ghazali says that he would not derive any ruling from his narratives except what he narrates from al-Hasan ibn Mahbub and ibn Abi Umair. In the opinion of Allama Hilli, as-Sayyid Bahr al-Ulum, he is za'if. According to Sayyid Ali al-Barujardi, he is ghaliyan muttahiman fi dinihi. And this he has recorded in his Taraif al-Maqal. And Najashi says that he is Sali al-Hadith, Yoruf Minha wa Yunkar. And this he has stated in his Rijal. Imam Khuy has recorded the following about him with reference to the various books of Sheikh Abu Ja'far al-Tusi. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tusi has recorded these in his various books. So Imam Khuy in his Mujmu Rijal al-Hadith has said that his opinions are Ghaliyan muttahiman fi dinihi. And this has been recorded in his Idda al-Usul. Then also, it is also said that Mashhurun bil-ghulu wal-la'na wama yakhtassu bi-riwayatihi la na'amal alayhi. Which has been recorded by Tahzibul Ahkam. Then in Al-Istibsar, one of his other famous treatises, it is said, Za'ifun fasidul mazhab la yultafatu ila hadithi fima yakhtassu ila hadithihi fi ma yakhtassu bi-nakli, that it should not, as far as the fact is concerned, that he's reporting someone in which he's a sole narrator, then he should not be relied upon, and it should not be attended to. Al-Khuy, after analyzing the jar of the authorities, regards Ahmad ibn Halal to be sika and says that at the most he may be regarded to be fasidul al-aqida, which does not damage the veracity of his narrative. So this is how Imam Khuy has actually concluded, which may or may not be correct, but the fact is the initial, all the earlier authorities have actually impugned him. So, viewers, this is as far as the critique is concerned by our authorities, by Shiite authorities, on the three basic narratives which I have already presented before you. We have seen how the chain of narration of this narrative has been regarded by the Rijal authorities of Shiite themselves. Now, as far as the conclusion that I would draw in this regard, I would say that the Shiites are almost unanimous in regarding the following narratives to be the ones which depict the reality in their view. And for example, Imam Khuy in his Al-Bayan, Al-Faiz Kashani in his Tafsir al-Safi, Al-Shaykh al-Jawahiri in his Jawahir al-Kalam, Al-Muhakkik al-Bahrani in his Al-Hadaiq al-Nazira, and Raza Hamadani in his Misbah al-Faqih, they are all, almost all of them are unanimous in saying that the view in this particular on this particular topic is the one which has been depicted by the following narrative, which I'm now just going to quote. And this narrative is by Imam Abu Ja'far. And it says, An Abi Ja'far alayhi salam qal, Inna al-Qur'ana wahid nazala min indi wahid, walakin al-ikhtilaf yaji min qibla al-ruwat. It says, Abu Ja'far said, Indeed, the Qur'an is one and is revealed by one, but the variations are due to its narrators. And this has been recorded in Abu Ja'far al-Kulaini's Al-Usul Min al-Kafi, besides some of the other books. Another narrative which is quoted in this regard is recorded by al-Kulaini in his Al-Usul Min al-Kafi. And this narrative says that Al-Fuzail ibn Yasar qala qultu an Fuzail ibn Yasar qala qultu li Abi Abdullah inna an-nas yaqulun إن القرآن نزل على سبعة أحرف فقال كذبوا عداء الله ولكنه نزل على حرف واحد من عند الواحد. الفزيل بن يسار said, I told Abu Abdullah that people say the Quran has been revealed on seven أحرف. He replied, The enemies of God have told a lie. In fact, the Quran has been revealed on one harf from the one. So in all, we can clearly see that there is a strong negation by Shiite authorities of the seven ahruf narrative, and the view that they subscribe to is that the Quran was revealed on one harf by one, which of course means by the Almighty. And since the Almighty is one and only, so therefore he revealed the Quran on one harf. And there's no question of the Quran being revealed on seven ahruf. We have already seen how Imam Khuy has criticized this narrative, but a narrative of Sabat al-Ahruf. So we can clearly see that in, as far as the Shiites are concerned, they do not accept the seven ahruf narrative, and they think that this has been fabricated or this is against other sound narratives, and the sound narrative which they believe in is the one that the Quran has been revealed on one harf. Viewers, I will now go on to the final subtopic of this major topic that we have been discussing, and after that, inshallah, I'll close this discussion before we move on to the next discussion, the next topic. And that is that I'm going to enumerate some of the secondary views on the seven ahruf narrative. And this I'll first be taking from Alit Khan. So besides the interpretations which we have already discussed, the seven famous ones or the seven primary ones, following are some of the other interpretations which Suyuti has also enlisted. Now I'm going to refer to some of them. So he says that it refers to the fact that an expression can be read up to seven ways, read in up to seven ways, and not in exactly the seven ways. This thus also answers the objection raised that there are only a few expressions which can be read in seven ways. However, there is another objection which has been raised on this view. There are expressions which can be read in more than seven ways. The second of them recorded by him is that according to Ash-Shayzala, the jurists say that the seven ahruf mean the absolute verses and the conditional ones. So al-mutlaq, al-muqayyad, that's what the Arabic words are. And the general ones and the specific ones, which means al-am wal-khas. And the explicit ones and the allegorical ones, al-nas wal-al-mu'awwal. The abrogating ones and the abrogated ones, al-nasikh wal-mansukh. And the concise ones and the detailed ones, al-mujwal. Well, Mufassar are the Arabic words. And verses which contain exception and its various types, which are al-istisna wa aqsamuhu. So again, this is an explanation of the seven ahruf, applying the fact that it refers to various types of verses. And you can clearly see that the types referred to will exceed the number seven. The third interpretation that Suyuti has recorded is according to the opinion of the lexicographers. The seven ahruf refer to suppression and superfluous letters, al-hasr wa-sila, pre-locating a verse or post-locating it, taqdeem wa-takhir, metaphors, isti'ara, the Arabic word, repetition or at-takrar, literal verses and figurative ones, al-kanaya wal-haqiqa wal-majaz, concise verses and detailed ones, which are al-mujmal wal-mufassir, the apparent ones and the little known, al-zahir wal-ghareeb. This is another opinion. The fourth opinion that he has cited is the opinion of the grammarians. And that is the seven ahruf refer to the masculine gender and the feminine gender, al-tazkir wa-thanis. The conditional statements and complements of conditional statements, ash-shart wal-jaza. Inflections and deflections, which is at-tasrif wal-i'rab. Oaths and complements of oaths, which is al-aqsam wa-jawabuha. Plural and singular, which is al-jama wal-ifrad, diminutive nouns and revered nouns, at-tasghir wa-tazim, and variations in particles, which is al-ikhtilaf al-adwat. The fifth interpretation which Imam Suyuti has cited is that according to the interpretation of the Sufis, so this is his the citation regarding the opinions of the Sufis, the seven ahruf refers to seven ways of dealings and behavior, like asceticism and contentment, and with certain faith and conviction in God, al-zuhud, wal-qana'a, wal-jazm, wal-yaqeen. Service with regard and respect, al-khidma, mal-haya, wal-karam. Meditation with fear and hope, which is al-muraqaba, ma'al-khawf, wal-raja. Pleading and seeking forgiveness while remaining content and grateful. And this is al-tadarru, wal-istighfar, ma'al-raza, wal-shukr. Patience with accountability and love, which is as-sabr ma'al muhasaba wal muhabba. And then we have attention with observation, which is ash-shauq ma'al mushahada. So this is, again, you can see that the enumeration that is being done is primarily of various types of things which each group believes. The grammarians have their own, the lexicographers have their own, the Sufis have their own, but they all refer to seven different phenomena or seven different things or seven different connotations which refer to particular concepts which exist in the specialities or specialization of all these three people. The sixth one that he refers to is that it refers to seven disciplines of knowledge, and then he enumerates them, and they are the discipline of creation, the discipline of monotheism and regarding the Almighty being devoid of bad attributes, the discipline of the description of actions of the Almighty, the discipline of forgiveness and giving punishment, the discipline of accountability on the Day of Judgment, and the discipline of prophethood. So these are the six interpretations that he has cited besides the ones that we have already discussed. Now, Imam Suyuti goes on to quote some further interpretations of this narrative as well. And these he refers to Ibn Hibban, and he says that these are the views of actually Ibn Hibban, and he has actually recorded 35 of these interpretations while referring them to Ibn Hibban. Again, I'm just going to cite them and not going to criticize them because the weakness is very obvious, as was the case with the previous ones. So the first one is Zajrun wa Amrun wa Halalun wa Haramun wa Muhkamun wa Mutashabihun wa Amsalun, which means verses of rebuke, verses of command, verses of what is allowed, verses of what is prohibited, the explicit ones and the allegorical ones, and the verses which mention parables. As you can see, again, we are discussing various types of verses. Then, the next one is halalun wa haramun wa amrun wa nahyun wa zajrun wa khabrun ma huwa kainun ba'd wa amsal. Again, verses of what is allowed, verses of what is prohibited, verses which command, verses which forbid, verses which forbid, verses which rebuke, verses which have information of what is going to happen, and verses which mention parables. The third one that he has cited and obviously attributed to Ibn Hibban is wa'adun wa wa'idun wa halalun wa haramun wa mawazir wa amsalun wa ihtijajun. Verses of promise, threat, prohibition, allowance, advice, parables, and argumentation. As you can see, viewers, the pattern is exactly the same. That basically, the seven ahruf here are being treated as being consisting of actually seven different types of Quranic verses. And the obvious critique, I would say, is that this none of this is corroborated. All of this is conjecture, and it does not have any argument that we on the basis of which we can deduce that these are the seven verses which a particular authority is referring to. And the fourth one, viewers, is Amrun wa Nahyun wa Basharatun wa Nazaratun wa Akhbarun wa Amsalun, which would mean verses of command, prohibition, glad tidings, admonition, news, and parables. And viewers, you can also see another phenomena in some of these interpretations is that some of them don't even count to seven. Obviously, if the seven refers to seven types of verses, then at least it should have a seven types of verses. There are many interpretations, as is the case with this one, the fourth one. This actually refers to only six types of verses. And this phenomenon, as I said, that you can see in some of the other ones as well. The fifth one is muhkaman wa mutashabihun wa nasikhun wa mansukhun wa khususun wa umumun wa qasasun, which means the clear verses, the allegorical ones, the abrogating ones, the abrogated ones, the specific ones, the general ones, and the anecdote verses. The sixth is amrun wa zajrun wa targhibun wa tarhibun wa jadalun wa qasasun wa masalun, which means verses of command, rebuke, exhortation, intimidation, argumentation, anecdotes, and parables. The seventh, viewers, is amrun wa nahyun wa haddun wa ilmun wa sirrun wa zahrun wa batan. Verses of command, forbiddance, definition, facts, secrets, and verses having an apparent meaning and verses having a hidden meaning. And then the eighth one, the eighth interpretation attributed to Ibn Hibban is nasikhun wa mansukhun wa wa'adun wa wa'idun wa raghmun wa ta'adidun ta'adibun wa inzarun. Abrogating, abrogated, promise, threat, intimidating, punishment, and admonition verses. Again, they are all referring to the types of verses. The ninth interpretation in this regard is halalun wa haramun wa iftitahun wa akhbarun wa faza'ilu wa uqubatun. So verses of allowance, prohibition, verses placed at the beginning, verses of information, verses of blessings, and verses of punishments. The tenth is awamirun wa zawajirun wa amsalun wa amba'un wa atabun wa wa'azun wa qasasun. So verses of commands, threats, parables, news, reproof, advice, and anecdotes. The 11th interpretation, or the 11th one that he has cited, is of course referring to or ascribing it to Ibn Hibban, is halalun wa haramun wa amsalun wa mansusun wa qasasun wa ibahatun, which would mean verses mentioning what is allowed, verses mentioning what is prohibited, verses which mention parables, explicit verses, anecdote verses, and verses which give permission. The 12th one in this regard is zahrun wa batrun wa farzun wa nadwun wa khususun wa umumun wa amsalun, which mean verses which have an apparent meaning, verses which have a hidden meaning, verses which express the desirable, the specific verses, the general ones, and verses mentioning parables. The 13th one is amrun wa nahyun wa wa'dun wa wa'idun wa ibahatun wa irshadun wa itibarun, which means verses of command, prohibition, promise, threat, permission, guidance, and verses which teach a lesson. The 14th one is muqaddamun wa mu'akhkharun wa faraiz wa hudud wa mawa'iz wa mutashabi wa amsal. So this would mean verses which precede, verses which succeed, verses which state obligations, verses which state the bounds, verses of advice, the allegorical verses, and verses containing parables. The 15th one. So it's mufassarun wa mujmalun wa maqziyun wa nadbun wa hatmun wa amsal, which would mean detailed verses, the concise ones, the ones which mention decisions, those which mention what is desirable, those which mention obligations, and verses mentioning parables. This is about the 15th one. The 16th one is amru hatmin wa amru nadbin wa nahyu hatmin wa nahyu nadbin wa akhbarun wa ibahat. Verses which mention commands which are obligatory, verses which mention commands which are desirable to be followed, verses which mention prohibitions which shall necessarily be abstained from, verses which mention prohibitions from which abstention is desirable, and verses of information and verses of permission. Now, as far as the 17th interpretation is concerned, it is amru farzin wa nahyu hatmin wa amru nadbin wa nahyu murshidin wa wa'adun wa wa'idun wa qassun. So verses mentioning obligatory commands, verses of prohibition which must be followed, verses of command following which is desirable, verses of prohibition following which is desirable, verses of promise, verses of threat, and verses of anecdotes. The 18th view in this regard is sabu jihad la yata'addah al-kalam lafzun khas urida bihal khas wa lafzul am urida bihal am wa lafzu am urida bihal khas wa lafzu khas urida bihal am wa lafzun yastaghni bi tanzilihi an ta'wilihi وَلَفْظٍ لَا يَعْلَمْ فِقْهُهُ إِلَّا الْعُلَمَاءُ لَا يَعْلَمْ فِقْهَهُ إِلَّا الْعُلَمَاءُ وَلَفْظٍ لَا يَعْلَمْ مَعْنَاهُ إِلَّا الرَّاسِخُونَ. So seven aspects which a discourse does not exceed, and these seven aspects are a specific word which implies something specific, a general word which implies a general thing, a general word which implies something specific, a specific word which implies a general, a word which, because of the way in which it has been revealed, does not require explanation, a word which is understood only by the scholars, and a word whose meanings only the righteous know. This is the 18th explanation or interpretation. The 19th one, viewers, is izhar rububiyya wa isbat al wahdaniyya wa ta'zim al uluhiyya wa ta'abbud lillah wa mujanabat al ishraq wa targhib wa fi sawab wa tarhib min al iqab. Again, these are the types of verses that are being enlisted. So verses which express providence, verses which prove the oneness of God, verses which depict honoring the divine, verses which express the worship of God, verses which express abstention from polytheism, verses which urge people to obtain reward, and which scare them of punishment. The 20th one verse is sabul lughat minha khams min hawazin wa isnatan lisair al-arab. The seven dialects, out of which five belong to the Hawazin and two to the rest of the Arab tribes. Again, it's in such an arbitrary explanation that has been given, and I don't think that even a critique is needed or is to tell how baseless or unfounded these opinions are. The 21st opinion views in this regard is sabu lughat mutafarriqa li jamil arab kullu harfin minha li qabilatin mashhura. So the seven dialects spread all over in Arabia, and to each famous tribe belonged a harf. So as you can see, as we progress along these interpretations, the first, the initial interpretation, they actually referred to various types of Quranic verses, and these types varied from one to the other. And now we come to another category of interpretations in which it is said that the seven refer to seven dialects of Arabia, and then these dialects are enumerated. The 22nd interpretation word is Sabu Lughat Arbaun Li'ajuz العجوز حوازن سعد بن بكر وجشم بن بكر ونصر بن معاوية وسلاس لقريش. The seven dialects, and four refer to the عجوز حوازن from among سعد بن بكر and جشم بن بكر and نصر بن معاوية, and three dialects belonging to the Quraysh. Again, we are discussing the interpretation of the seven أحرف. As I said, the initial interpretations referred to various types of verses, and now we are discussing that category of interpretations which refers to seven dialects, and then these dialects are arbitrarily assumed by some authorities without even naming the sources and grounds of their opinion. The 23rd one, yours is Sabu Lughat, Lughatu Quraysh, Lughatu Quraysh, Lughatun lil Yaman, Lughatun lil Jurham, Lughatun li Hawazin, Lughatun li Kuzara, Lughat li Thamim, Lughat li Taib. The seven dialects, and they are that of the Quraysh, that of Yaman, that of Jurham, that of Hawazin, that of Quzara, that of Tamim, and that of Tay. The 24th interpretation is Lughatul Qa'bain, Ka'b ibn Amr, Ka'b ibn Luwayy, wa lahuma sab'u lughat. The dialects of the two Ka'bs, Ka'b ibn Amr and Ka'b ibn Luwayy, both had seven dialects in all. The 25th interpretation, viewers, is Al-Lughat Al-Mukhtalifa li-Ahya al-Arab fi ma'na wahid, مثل هلما وهات وتعال وأقبل. So various dialects of the tribes of Arabia having the same meaning where they differ, for example, هلما وهات وتعال وأقبل. So viewers, now this we are referring to a third category of interpretation in which synonymous words are being presented. So you can see a reflection of those views that we have already discussed. That the first category describes the types of verses. The second category describes the dialects, ascribing various dialects to various tribe. And now we come to the third, in which synonymous words are being implied as the reference or the connotation of the seven ahruf. And these, as I said, are actually various categories of interpretation. The 26th in this regard is Sabu Qira'at, the Sabatim min as-Sahaba, Abi Bakr wa Umar wa Usman wa Ali wa ibn Masud wa ibn Abbas wa Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu anhum. So now this is a fourth type which is being presented, and actually it says that the seven readings of the seven famous companions of the Prophet, and then it enumerates those companions as Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali ibn Masud, ibn Abbas, and Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Now, here's the 27th interpretation. This is Hamzun wa Imaratun wa Fathun wa Kasrun wa Takhfim wa Maddun wa Kasr. So now again, this is still another category, and this actually refers to the various pronunciations, various ways of pronunciations, and perhaps accent as well. So this is Hamz, Imala, Fat, Kasr, Tafkhim, Mad, and Kasr. The 28th interpretation is Tasrifun wa Masadir wa Uruz wa Ghareeb wa Saj wa Lughat Mukhtalifa Kulluha fi Shay'in Wahid, which means the inflections, the verbal nouns, the prosody, the uncommon, the rhyme prose, and the various dialects having the same meaning. And then the 29th place we have كَلِمَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ تُعْرَبُ بِسَبْعَةِ أَوْجُهٍ حَتَّى يَكُونُ الْمَعْنَى وَاحِدٌ وَإِنْ اخْتَلَفَ اللَّفْظُ فِيهِ. So a single expression which can be declined in seven ways so that the meanings always remain the same, even if the words of the expressions are different. Again, you can see a reverberation of this interpretation being found earlier as well, that actually this is seven ways of reading an expression in which the meaning does not change. The 30th explanation that has been offered is Ummahatul Hija, and these are Alif, Al-Ba, Wal-Jim, Wal-Dal, Wal-Ra, Wal-Sin, Wal-Ain, Li-Anna, Alayha, Taduru, Jawami, Kalam al-Arab. This is still another category of interpretation in which it says that the basic letters of the alphabet like Alif, Ba, Jim, Dal, Ra, Sin, and Ain, they are the ones which are implied by these seven ahruf. And these are the letters. And it says, because on these letters revolve all Arabic discourses and writings. The 31st interpretation words is Annaha fi asma'ir rab مثل الغفور, غفور الرحيم, السميع, البصير, العليم, الحكيم. Still another category in which actually seven أعراف is referring to seven attributes of the Almighty, or the seven names of the Almighty, and they are the names of God, like the forgiving, the merciful, one who hears all, one who sees all, one who knows all, and the wise. All these are actually translations of the names of the Almighty. The 32nd interpretation, viewers of Ibn Hibban, that has been cited by Suyuti, is هي آيات في صفات الذات آيات تفسيرها في آيات أخرى وآيات بيانها في السنة سنة صحيحة وآيات في قصة الأنبياء والرسل وآيات في خلق الأشياء وآيات في وصف الجنة وآيات في وصف النار. So again, we come back to the types of the Quranic verses. So we started with that. We are coming to an end with that. And again, it says that it refers to types of Quranic verses. And then, as I said, these have been enumerated, and I will just give a translation, and that is, there are verses which have the attributes of the Almighty, verses which are explained by other verses, verses which are explained by the true Sunnah, verses which contain the tales and anecdotes of the prophets and the messengers, verses which depict creation, verses which describe paradise, and verses which describe hell. Now we come to the 33rd explanation, viewers, and that is آيَةٌ فِي وَصْفِ السَّعْنِ وَآيَةٌ فِي إِثْبَاتِ الْوَحْدَانِيَةِ لَهُ وَآيَةٌ فِي إِثْبَاتِ صِفَاتِهِ وَآيَةٌ فِي إِثْبَاتِ رُسُلِهِ وَآيَةٌ فِي إِثْبَاتِ كُتُبِهِ وَآيَةٌ فِي إِثْبَاتِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَآيَةٌ فِي نَفِي الْكُفْرِ. Which means verses which describe the Creator, verses which prove His singularity, verses which prove His attributes, verses which prove His messengers, and verses which prove His books, and verses which prove Islam, and verses which negate disbelief. The 34th interpretation in this regard is سَبُّ جِهَاتٍ مِنْ صِفَاتِ ذَاتِ اللَّهِ الَّتِي لَا يَقَوْ عَلَيْهَا التَّكِيفِ. Which means the seven aspects from the attributes of God which do not depict His state. And finally, we have the 35th interpretation in this regard is Al-Iman Billah wal-Mubayinatu Shirk wa Isbatul Awamir wa Mujanabatu Zawajir wa Sabat al-Iman wa Tahrim ma Harram Allah wa Ta'atu Rasulihi. So that is belief in God, polytheism, being far apart from belief in one God, proving commands, abstaining from what God, from what people have been threatened with, perseverance on faith, to consider as prohibited whatever is prohibited by God, and to obey His messenger. So viewers, this brings us to the end of these 35 interpretations, besides the six others which Suyuti earlier recited. And as you can see, that all of them, either they refer to types of the Quranic verses, or to the dialects, or to the various interpretations of the doctors or scholars of a particular field, like grammarians and lexicographers and Sufis, or it refers to the seven different ways of pronouncing a word, etc., etc. So all these interpretations, viewers, you can see that none of them have been corroborated. They have been just presented as views, and I don't think that any critique is even required to dismiss them. I have enumerated them for the sake of explaining the fact that how diversely this narrative has been interpreted, and how differently and how in such a different manner that this interpretations have been offered, that one really finds it hard to believe what the narrative actually means. So viewers, if I sum up my discussion on the seven Ahruf narrative, I can conclude, in my humble opinion, that as far as the content of this narrative is concerned, we have discussed the major interpretations. None of them satisfies our intellect, at least my intellect, I think. There are a number of questions which arise on each of the seven major interpretations which I earlier put forth before you, not only by my own self, but by critiques by major authorities who would dismiss one interpretation or the other. And as far as the secondary interpretation which I have today enumerated before you, they also carry very, very little. In fact, they are even more unconvincing than those seven major interpretations. We have also seen some of the chains of narrations of these narratives. We have discussed the mawquf narratives and as well as the marfu ones, besides some of the other narratives which describe or help us in interpreting the seven Ahruf narratives. None of these narratives have we found to be of any convincing nature as far as the chain of narration is concerned. We have also discussed the Shiite interpretation of this narrative. They, in fact, are of the view that contrary to the Sunni tradition or the Ammah, the seven Ahruf narrative is totally unfounded. To them, the Quran has actually been revealed on one Harf. So, all in all, I would say that the seven Ahruf narrative, neither is any text of the narrative does have any convincing explanation. In fact, a number of questions arise on each of its interpretations, but also its chain of narration is also not reliable. So therefore, my own simple conclusion is that the seven Ahruf narratives is not worthy of being accepted, neither on the basis of its content or interpretation, nor on the basis of its chain of narration, and it should stand rejected. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.